Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. Hope you guys are having a lovely day. Want to thank y'all for being here. Do me a favor. If you haven't yet, please consider hitting the like button. I got an email from a listener who downloads the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and she was asking, where's the like button on Apple? Unfortunately, there is no like button on Apple Podcasts. I think you can leave a review, basically. You can leave a 5-star review, and it lets people know that the show's good. Most of them are very good. Some of them are from leftist idiots who simply stop by just to make fun of me. But that's fine. I could care less because I am 100% comfortable in who I am and what I believe and in the direction that I believe this country is going. So, if you don't agree, maybe stick around. You'll learn something. But if you're here to hang out with good people, good friends, great conversation, and a lot of news, then you're in the right place. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but definitely, you can see there on the thumbnail, an investigative journalist who blew the lid off of the smurfing scandal with Act Blue in the state of Wisconsin has basically come up against the deep state itself. So sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red, because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector. And this, of course, is your new episode of Red Pill News right here
on Red Pill 78. Rumble.com/Red Pill 78. Pilled.net/Red Pill 78. Red Pill 78 News.com. And pretty much Red Pill 78 on just about every single social media platform. You can follow me on Twitter, Truth, Gab, Getter, and so many other platforms as well. But you can find everything that I do right there on my website. You can also find me on Badlands Media Network. I do shows on Monday nights, Baseless Conspiracies with my friend John. Wednesday nights, Altered State with my friend Brad Getz. Thursday afternoons with my friends Frank and Adel on Taking It Back. And then, of course, we're also live on Friday and Saturday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. That's when we have guests come in. I ask them a bunch of questions, want to hear their stories. And then, of course, you get an opportunity to ask them questions in the second hour. I have a couple of excellent shows lined up for you this weekend. As I mentioned yesterday, on Friday during the day, I'm going to be broadcasting live from the premiere of General Flynn's brand new documentary, Flynn Movie. Make sure that you go on over to the website if you want to be there for the premieres. The Venice premiere on Friday is sold out, but the Winter Haven premiere on Saturday is a much larger venue, and there are a couple of seats left. So if you're down here in Florida, if you live close in, say, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, you want to make the trip, come hang out with General Flynn and, of course, a lot of other people from the Trump administration who are going to be there, then you can come and join us at the Winter Haven show on Saturday. I'm hoping that while I'm broadcasting live on Friday, I'll get an opportunity to interview a couple of familiar faces that you may have already seen on the show before. In fact, I know that I will. But then there's also going to be a number of new people that I've never had on the program before and I've always wanted to have the opportunity to speak with. So consider all of that. If you want to check out the links to any of the sponsors of today's program, you can do so by going to the description of this video. My lovely mods, my fiance, real Red Pill 78 girlfriend, Lisa, and of course, the one and only Debbie Rausch. They're going to be passing out links throughout the show. No matter what platform you're on, if you can, hit the like button. If you're on Pilled, you hit the red pill. If you're on Rumble, you hit the thumbs up, and that means that you like this show. As I mentioned yesterday, thumbs ups on Rumble are what gets me onto the leaderboard. Doesn't matter how many people watch the show. There can only be 10,000 people that watch the show, but if it gets 10,000 likes, then they're going to put it on the leaderboard. On the leaderboard. So please, if you don't mind, I would sincerely appreciate it. You could also share the show on your favorite social media platforms, and that would also help out the broadcast as well. We're going to begin today by checking in with our one and only President Donald J. Trump. He had that 10-day deadline to secure a $175 million payment so that he could appeal the unfair and completely unconstitutional legal decision against him from Judge Arthur the Ashtray in Gorin and Letitia Peekaboo James, some of the most corrupt bureaucrats in all of American history. Now, it could have been $175 million in cash. It could have been $175 million in bonds. It could have been $175 million in collateral. President Trump opted to go with a $175 million bond. So yesterday he posted that in New York. That stopped Letitia Peekaboo James from attempting to seize any or all of his assets. Beautiful properties like Trump Doral. You've got the Trump golf course in Westchester. You've got, of course, Trump Tower in New York City. And I'm sure President Trump has a whole bunch of other properties that I've just never even really thought about. But as he has now posted that bond, President Trump is free to appeal that unconstitutional decision in this recent fraud case that he went up against. The case was fraud, but of course there were no victims, and of course there was no financial remunerations that need to be taken into account. All of the banks got paid. Everybody got their payments exactly on time, and every single financial institution would happily continue to do business with President Donald J. Trump, because he's a businessman. President Trump knows what it takes to run a company and run it successfully. And that's why he was so successful in running the United States of America, despite all of the efforts, the best efforts of the bureaucratic deep state, the resistors working inside the federal government, the public administrative sector of government, the unelected bureaucrats who by and large, are making most of the decisions on exactly what's happening in the United States today. You take a look around, you look at all of the craziness, you look at the radical left-wing nonsense that's infecting every sector of society, and you can pretty much bring it right back there to that bureaucratic deep state. Those unelected bureaucrats are going to do whatever it is that they possibly can to push us closer to a communist hellhole, like the people of New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles are finding right now. This is what happens when you put leftists in control. So President Donald Trump is fighting not only for the future of his company, the happiness and security of his family, but also, of course, for the future of our beautiful United States of America. So President Trump posted that $175 million bond yesterday so that he could prevent New York authorities from taking unfairly, I might add, any of his assets. That included properties like Trump Tower. Now, this is pending appeal of that civil fraud judgment, and that judgment they were looking to steal nearly $500 million from him. As President Trump said, they took a look at what his assets and liabilities were, what his actual cash flow was, and they saw that, well, roughly he had $500 million cash on hand. And so they said, you know what? That sounds like a nice round number. We're going to go ahead and seize that from you, unless, of course, you're able to effectively fight back the efforts of the deep state, which have been continually attempting to take him down since the moment he walked down that escalator. You all remember. So appealing this ruling from the New York Supreme Court, Justice Arthur Engoron had claimed that President Trump and his beautiful children, Eric, Don Jr., the ladies, that these executives fraudulently inflated the value of their assets to increase profit and savings. What's really funny is that Jon Stewart was recently brought back to The Daily Show on Comedy Central because it's been failing basically throughout the entirety of President Trump's term in office. They made it so overtly political. It was no longer skewering both sides of the aisle. It was exclusively skewering the right side of the aisle. And Jon Stewart made an argument that President Trump broke the law by inflating the value of his assets, and therefore it doesn't matter that nobody lost any money. He still needs to pay the price. Funnily enough, people found out less than 24 hours later that Jon Stewart had actually inflated the value of his own asset, his apartment in New York City. He sold it for far more than it was actually worth. And then you know what he did when he paid the taxes? He valued it at far less than it was actually worth. So not only did he pay fewer taxes, thereby robbing the people of the state of New York, but he also stole money from a well-meaning buyer. That person probably just took Jon Stewart's word for it because he's a celebrity. He's supposed to be trustworthy. He's part of that Hollywood clique, the elite circle of people who hate Donald Trump. But of course, Jon Stewart does not see the irony in this story, despite everybody else who's been paying attention seeing it very, very clearly. Now, if President Trump loses his appeal, God forbid, everyone, please pray for him. He's going to owe more than $450 million from that civil judgment that Letitia James was able to essentially steal from underneath him. And they allege that he deceived those lenders and that he inflated his net worth by up to $2.2 billion between 2011 and 2021. The really funny aspect of this is that Judge Arthur Engoron, who knows nothing about real estate and certainly nothing about real estate in the beautiful, sunny, Sunshine State of Florida, he valued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. Clearly, Mar-a-Lago is worth a lot more than $18 million. And when the talking heads at CNN were gushing over the idea of President Trump having to pay this $500 million judgment, they were literally talking about how he could sell Mar-a-Lago and basically use that money to pay the judgment. That right there is an admission that Judge Arthur the Ashtray Engoron's valuation of Mar-a-Lago was far, far less than it's actually worth. Remember, this is the Winter White House. It's not only a home, it is also a private club. People pay tens of thousands of dollars a year just to have the privilege to go there, hang out, have lunch in the same room as President Trump. I want to remind everybody that if you have enough money, You can enter Mar-a-Lago. You don't have to be a special person or have special access. But if you have the cash, then you pay your membership fees and you get to go in there. Also, if you're a member with a friend that you want to bring in there, you can bring that person in and then they'll gain access too. They won't even have to pay anything at all. So basically, it is a money-making machine. Anybody who wants to come to Mar-a-Lago just makes a donation to President Trump's re-election victory campaign, and they get an opportunity to have a face-to-face meeting with the boss. That truly is not something that you would get out of any regular old property. So the fact that Arthur and Gorin valued it at such a small amount, it was all about trapping President Trump into this guilty verdict, which, let's be honest, they had it decided before he even walked into that courtroom. Let me say thank you to Buck Wayne, who says, caution, gazing at Letitia James for too long may cause permanent erectile dysfunction. Yes, it very well may. Also, thank you to Thick Ray, who says, cheers to all my patriotic fam. Thank you, Ray. Good to see you. All right. Now, for anybody who is worried about whether or not the deep state and the pharmaceutical industrial complex were going to be able to come up with a brand new pandemic before the election. If you were thinking, hey, I'm kind of worried here. What if they actually allow us to have this election? What if we get all the way up to November and there's like no propaganda? There's no scares. How are we even going to survive? Well, you can rest assured now because Texas health officials and the CDC have confirmed that bird flu has been transferred to a cow. And now it's been transferred to a dairy worker. This is a phenomenal development for the deep state. It's also a moment in history because this is the very first time that a person has been diagnosed with bird flu that has also passed through a bovine source. This man has tested positive for a highly virulent strain of the bird flu. Again, the first human case following its detection in dairy cattle across several states. This guy worked at a dairy farm where the cows were found to have been infected with H5N1. That's according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. A quote from the State Department of Health Services, the patient became ill following contact with dairy cows, presumed to be infected with avian influenza. The patient's primary symptom was conjunctivitis. That means he got pink eye. All right, so I think maybe we're going to be okay here, guys. The second case... Oh, this is the second case of avian influenza identified in a person in the United States, and it's believed to be associated with recent detections of avian influenza in dairy cows. My God, how is this guy going to be able to vote? He's going to have pink eye all the way up until the day after the election, probably. So the case has sparked a lot of questions about how this virus spreads. A lot of people are curious. Well, the Texas Agriculture Commissioner, a man by the name of Sid Miller, said, well, it's not exactly clear yet if the person caught the virus directly from infected cows. That's just what they're reporting. It sounds better, though, doesn't it? Because it's that whole zoonotic interspecies passing along. They want you to stay away from birds and they want you to stay away from cows. So now you're going to stay away from both of them because who the heck wants pink eye? You guys ever had pink eye? It sucks. Let me tell you, it's not a lot of fun. But despite the severity of this incident, it must be a really bad case of pink eye. Officials, including Miller and the CDC, have reassured the public they're at low risk. Don't worry, guys. Everything's okay. But it's bird flu. You better be careful. Don't go near the cows. The CDC has pointed out the necessity of avoiding unprotected contact with sick or dead birds to prevent any risk. If any of you out there, if anybody out there is walking down the street and you see a dead bird on the side of the road and the first thing you think to do is to pick it up, then just start to reevaluate your life. Okay? Like nobody should be picking up dead animals. I don't care if it's a bird. I don't care if it's a raccoon. You find an armadillo on the side of the road. Maybe you come across a possum. Honestly, if you come across a possum or any other type of marsupial, or are they marsupials? Or do they have their own, like, special classification? I'm pretty sure it's a marsupial. But anyways, if you come across something with a pouch, then it got hit by a car or something like that, you really do want to check it to make sure that there aren't any babies in there. Because quite often those babies are just going to stick right there with the mom. And then, you know, maybe they get run over again or something. But anyways, just wear some gloves. You know, certainly don't pick up a dead bird and kiss it. Andy Pearson says, back to the human getting bird flu, be a bovine. BS. BS. Well, good news is they have given us some directives, Andy, to reduce the risk of HPAIA, which also is H5N1, virus protection. Poultry farmers and poultry workers, backyard bird flock owners, livestock farmers and workers, veterinarians and veterinary staff, and responders should avoid unprotected direct physical contact or close exposure with sick or dead birds or other animals. Carcasses. You got to throw that in there, because if you're that guy who's out there in the audience right now thinking about wanting to pick up that roadkill, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, don't pick up any animal shit either. Throw the feces on there. Don't pick up the feces, guys. If you can help it, just don't pick it up. I mean, unless it's your own dog's poop and you're picking it up with a bag. Also, I guess milk. You don't want to come into contact with milk or litter from sick birds. So, you know, I was always taught when I was a kid, like, don't touch a bird's nest. I mean, how do they hold that stuff together? There's probably all kinds of bird poop in there and everything. Just any other kind of sick animals, too. Stay away from them. You never know. It might be infected with H5N1. It might not be infected with H5N1. But if you come down with pink eye, then just be ready. They're probably going to tell you you got the bird flu. So this is a pretty rare bird flu, but they say it is deadly. I guess a 21-year-old man in Vietnam died of bird flu on March 23rd. But again, it's not like we've got millions of people who are dying from bird flu. There's pretty much anything that makes you sick might potentially kill you at the end of the day. With that in mind, my mother is sick right now, you guys, so please keep her in your prayers. She's got some ivermectin coming in the mail. Mom, I love you. I hope you're feeling okay, at least okay enough to enjoy the show. But this is another one of those scare tactics, honestly, if I had to pin it down. It's like, you know, I mean, the news cycle, it's always laden with stories like this. Like, how long have they been talking about bird flu? Like, my entire life. I remember, like, when I was in middle school, they had stories about Chinese cases of bird flu. And they had people all over China wearing those masks. They were getting us ready because they knew, like, one of these days, guys, we're going to be bringing it to your house, too. We got to make sure that everybody's prepped. You need to know that those masks, which don't do anything at all, are going to be the one thing that saves your life. Do what's right. Do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for that old lady down the street. Don't pick up any dead birds and make sure you wear a mask. Okay. Well, I hope that you understand that was satire. All right. So let us also check in with the situation at the Baltimore bridge collapse. Yesterday, we brought you the news that the cranes had moved in. They were starting to pick up the pieces, but now we've got a better idea of exactly what we're facing underwater. Disaster relief workers on site have produced new underwater 3D images that show the sheer magnitude of this salvage operation. Local, state, and federal officials have yet to offer any sort of a cohesive timeline for salvage crews to completely remove this bridge from the channel and the main shipping channel opening up in the port of Baltimore. So early this morning, the Baltimore District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers published these 3D images of the wreckage at the bottom of the shipping canal on social media. Let me just blow this up for you so you can see. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it and it appears to be basically the thing that used to be above ground. It's now underwater. So that's exactly what I was expecting. The 3D images show the sheer magnitude of the very difficult and challenging salvage operation ahead. They put this out on Facebook. How convenient of them. The post continued, the underwater sonar imaging tool known as Coda Octopus is the primary survey tool used by divers with visibility clouded to just 1 to 2 feet because of the 4 to 5 feet of mud and loose bottom of the Patapsco River. This is a pretty filthy river, if you have to ask me. I remember looking at it and thinking it looked like dirty chocolate milk. plus because of like the tidal waves and the location where it is, all the dirt and stuff coming out of Baltimore. I mean, it's a filthy city, let's be honest. All that nasty crud goes into that waterway. And then you have like feet of silt at the bottom. And then, of course, the bridge fell down right into it. So now they got to go digging around inside that and pull it. It's going to be quite the engineering task. So I'm glad to see that the Army Corps of Engineers is the one that's actually doing it. So divers are forced to work in virtual darkness because of how filthy the water is. When it's lit, their view is similar to diving through like a heavy snowfall. I've actually watched a lot of videos of professional divers going down and doing these types of salvage operations, or even just people searching on the riverbeds of various rivers throughout the United States. One of my favorite things is watching people go to the bottom of the river, find all this stuff that people have lost, and then bringing it back up, and then doing like a haul and showing everybody what it is. Because you never know, you're going to find some cool stuff. 9 times out of 10, there's going to be a gun down there, and then you got to call the cops. Sometimes they find claymores. Sometimes they find grenades. Sometimes they find like machine guns. Sometimes they find like entire cars and motorcycles. It's pretty exciting. So these divers have got to be guided using the verbal instructions from people who are up on top that are actually going by what these 3D scans are. So I would imagine they're probably going to have to like swim down to it, probably against the current. And then they're going to have to hook up a whole bunch of maybe steel cables all along various parts of this bridge. Maybe they're going to be cutting it. I don't know what kind of torch they're going to use underwater, but I know that they do have them. I've seen them used for like, oh, I don't know, well drilling sites. There is an ability for them to use a torch underwater, and then they can go ahead and slice it up. Maybe they'll just use a diamond blade of some type. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But they're probably going to cut it up, bring it up in individual pieces, and then when they do, maybe they'll make a memorial or something like that. Or maybe they'll just ship it all off to China so we can't actually have a look at it, do a real investigation. So there is quite literally no ability for them to get actual video footage because – again, it's just too muddy. There is no way for them to get a clear image underneath there. So they're not going to be releasing that. These 3D images are the closest thing we're going to get. Let's just get another quick look at it before we take off. My goodness. Not to mention, this is not just steel. I mean, we're talking about probably tons of concrete here that made up the actual roadway itself. But, I mean, this is an unmitigated disaster. I think that's the only thing that we can say about this with any certainty. So they were able to open up a temporary channel so that commercial traffic can continue one way. The narrow channel is 11 feet deep. They've got a 264-foot horizontal clearance and a 95-foot vertical clearance. So some small barges have been able to pass through. They have actually released video of that. But the main shipping channel is remaining clogged because of the mangled steel bridge as a result of the impact from the Dolly. Kind of interesting that it's named the Dolly, and it was truly a surreal sight to see. That's an art joke. Anybody knows it, you tell me in the chat. This marks an important step along the road to reopening the port of Baltimore. And by opening this alternate route, they say, we will support the flow of marine traffic into that city. So Pete Buttigieg has actually commented, my goodness, that's not something I was expecting. Secretary Buttigieg has come forward to give us a statement. Hang on, let's take a look at this. New footage of the Key Bridge wreckage. My gosh. Lisa, I knew you'd get it. My goodness. Oh, look at that. Oh, man. Yeah, and then they're going to have to go about the process of, like, tearing down the structure that didn't fall in. Frey and the Boys says that he has dove on 20 shipwrecks from World War II in the Philippines. With probably a better visibility there, I would imagine, but still just as cool. Had they been cleaned up? Was there stuff down there still? Certainly there's probably no bodies at this point. I would imagine that would be the first thing that they would go and salvage, especially in a maritime disaster like that. But, I mean, maybe there would still be, like, supplies or, I don't know, canned goods and stuff. Kind of interesting. Okay, so we've actually gotten some new details in Joe Biden's illegal flying program. This is the program that the federal government was funding, which flew illegal aliens on secret flights in the middle of the night, one which I witnessed myself. And guess what? The majority of them, 90% of those illegals that were flown into the United States, they were flown to Florida and Texas. So that explains my discomfort every time I go to Walmart, which I'm never going to go to again. I'm committed to that. One time after I announced that on the air, Lisa was like, I got to go to the store. We need dinner. I'm just going to go to Walmart. It'll be quick. And I'm like, no, it won't. You have no idea the hell that is waiting for you when you go to Walmart. And so she went and she came home like more frustrated than she'd ever been in her life. Oh, Miss Mary. Yeah, Pink Eye is definitely gonna get around at a preschool pretty quickly. I think that's honestly where I got Pink Eye when I was an adult. My daughter got it at school, and then I got it from her, and it was awful. God, it was like I was just constantly like trying to itch my eye, but not doing it because it was just all torn up. So Joe Biden flew the vast majority of those illegal aliens on his secret flight program down here to beautiful Florida and, of course, to Texas, probably to punish us for being the freest states in the union. Clearly, we don't vote for Joe Biden down here. We don't support his policies. And so this was retribution of sorts. He sent them all to our beautiful states. At least 326,000 illegals in that program were flown down to Florida. So the question remains, where the hell are they? What happened to them? Who has been paying for them once they got here? And then 21,000 were flown into Houston, Texas. Look at that. 326,000 down here to Florida and only 22,000 were flown to Texas. I mean, both of them are disgusting numbers. Neither of them should exist. But Biden is importing what many would believe and understand to be a crushing amount of illegal aliens into our red states so that he can attempt to crash our social welfare systems. Obviously, in Texas, they now have the power to deport illegal aliens, even if the state Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals is trying to monkey it up. I would imagine that there's still some efforts that are taking place. But I don't know anything about Ron DeSantis doing anything like that for us down here in Florida. We need to get the hell on that. We cannot have these people here. We cannot allow this to happen. He's been pretty vocal about not allowing the boats of migrants to show up on our shores and then just continue to hang out here. But I haven't really heard much about the illegals that are clearly all over the state now and what they plan to do with them. So Republican lawmakers are apparently also doing absolutely nothing about this very intentional and purposeful destruction of the United States of America. From a report by the Washington Examiner, this secret flying program from Latin America into U.S. cities has dumped over 90% of those illegals into two southern states that are governed by the harshest border critics of Joe Biden's policies. Again, nearly 350,000 illegal migrants allowed into the secretive system that were flown directly into airports in Florida and Texas. Florida got the vast majority of them, 325,000. That's coming from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection numbers from the Center for Immigrant Studies. SDLBS 1959. Baltimore Army Corps of Engineers on Facebook, 4D pics of the records. Yes, thank you very much. Are you saying that there are more of them in there than, you know what? I can't go to it because I don't have Facebook. So thank you, though. Appreciate it. It's unclear exactly how many migrants were flown onto other U.S. cities, but they have said that there's like something like 40 different destinations where they were sending them. The Center for Immigration Studies said this early evidence suggests that a great many of these inadmissible alien passengers, probably a majority, initially land at international airports in Republican Governor Ron DeSantis's Florida. In fact, Florida turns out to be the top landing in U.S. Customs processing zone for this direct flights parole and release program, which has these numbers are through February. So since February, obviously, we've had a lot more probably. Presidente Supermarket 7 are popping up all over Florida. What is that? I've never heard of that. Is that supposed to be a joke? Because obviously that's Hispanic. But I will go ahead and search for that and see if it's real. Presidente Supermarket. Yeah. Wow. Presidente Supermarkets. Never heard of these. Is everything in Spanish? Well, yes, everything is in Spanish. And it's looks like it's Spanish brands, too. Then, of course, there's some American brands in there. My Bar, never heard of My Bar. Not a big fan of the deviled ham in a can either. But Goya, I definitely will be eating me some Goya beans, that's for sure. All right, so, yes. Bit of good news, despite the fact that Joe Biden has been flying those illegals into the interior of the United States of America. Texas, once again, has gained re-control of the border with El Paso in Mexico. We've got new pictures and videos of the Texas National Guard installing miles of razor fence, and they have actually installed a new anti-climb fence as well. So the Texas National Guard is quite literally defying the Biden regime. And I think that that's exactly what every single state in the United States should do. I don't care what the Biden regime is telling any of these states how to respond to the influx of illegal aliens that they have not only invited but actually facilitated. We need to be standing up for our rights, and we need to be standing up for our sovereignty. So what is an anti-climb fence? Well, we are going to find out. Let's go ahead and take a look. This tweet coming from Matt Finn. Get it, boys. Oh, yeah. Nobody's climbing that. Nobody's climbing that. Eagle Pass. Eagle Pass. You better just pass on by Eagle Pass, boys. Continue on. You might as well go to Arizona or California, even though I don't really want you to go there either. But, you know, you can try to get there by walking through the desert. And I don't know that you're going to make it. So you might say that the Texas National Guard is building back better. Certainly better than Joe Biden did. Hopefully the illegals are going to find it impossible to bust through the fences these times. And even if they don't find it impossible, they are just going to get the shit cut out of them, which I am totally okay with. Freya and the boys, shipwrecks of Coron wreck diving in the Philippines. Okay, so let me copy that. Copy link address. Thank you very much, Fredo, or Freya. Appreciate you. Let's go ahead and drop that in. Okay. I've never been to the Philippines. I've never been outside the United States except to go to Mexico once and then Canada a handful of times. Been a long time since I've been to Canada, but I would love to go down to a shipwreck. That would be pretty sweet. So, yeah, there's probably a lot of this stuff scattered around from World War II, I would imagine. Oh, look at that. They've got all the little diagrams showing you exactly where it's broken, like the damage that occurred, what forced it into the water. Very cool, Freya. Hope you had fun. All right. So this is coming as we just yesterday learned that over 200 illegals who had previously broken through the old razor wire fence and then stormed the border and tried to grab the rifles off of the National Guardsmen, attacking them in the process, sending several of them to the hospital. They were charged with rioting today. But some of the other ones were actually let go, and, you know, God knows whether or not we're going to see them again. That was the El Paso magistrate judge Humberto Acosta. He's a well-known radical leftist, and he ruled that the hundreds of arrestees from the violent riot should have individual bail hearings within 48 hours of being charged. Now, I guess that was the law, but it was Easter weekend. I mean, you know, I've known plenty of Americans who had to go to jail on a holiday, and they didn't get this kind of treatment. I mean, they just had to stay in jail until somebody came back to work on Monday or maybe even Tuesday if it was a long weekend. So there were 39 illegals that were brought before him on these rioting charges that ended up getting released of their own recognizance. Some of these were the ones who actually had attacked and wounded those Texas National Guardsmen. Now, fortunately, those illegals were instead transferred to a from state custody to ICE so that they did not get released back out onto the street, because ICE, in their infinite wisdom, said that they're waiting to assume custody of every illegal who charged across the border and promised they're going to deport every single one of them. We promise, guys, trust me. You know, I think that there are certainly good people who work at ICE. Maybe the ICE officials are now defying the Biden regime, and, you know, they're finally willing to go ahead along with the law and make sure that these people don't come back into the United States and rape and sexually abuse 10-year-old girls. But, you know, some of them have. Somebody like this guy right here, he's an illegal immigrant from Haiti. He's actually admitted to Florida law enforcement that he inappropriately sexually abused a 10-year-old girl. He's a 37-year-old man. His name is Nivinson Sarrazin. He was arrested this past Friday in Pembroke Park. And the incident has been reported by the National Desk. Officials have charged him with sexual battery on a minor, battery on a child by throwing, tossing, projecting, or expelling certain bodily fluids or materials, and then also possession of child pornography. I think the one caveat, the one good thing that is going to come out of this case is that, remember, we just passed a law down here that if you're a child rapist, you can actually be put to death in the state of Florida. And the sooner the better is what I say, because there's no reason for somebody who is going to be put to death to have to suckle on the teat of the taxpayers down here in the beautiful state of Florida. Why would we want to keep them alive for any longer than we need to? We already have the crime. We have the criminal. We have a victim. We have a verdict. So let's talk about swift justice for just a moment. I think that we need to take care of these things as quickly as possible. There is no need to wait. It's just expense our problems, get it all taken care of, maybe even allow them the opportunity to choose which way they want to go. Would you prefer the gas chamber? Would you prefer electrocution? Would you prefer lethal injection? Would you prefer firing squad? Or would you prefer to allow the parents of the child you abused to choose your method of execution for you? I tend to think that that last one, that should actually be written into law. I think I'm going to write a strongly worded email to my representatives down here in Florida and suggest that maybe we offer that as a possible solution. Let's let the parents decide. Let's let the parents decide. And then the guilty can be put to death in whatever way the parent thinks is best. Does the parent want that sick pederast to be put to death by stoning? Well, if that's the case, then I think maybe we should oblige. Unfortunately, I don't think the child should have to choose. I think that the child has already gone through enough. There's no reason to further traumatize them, and you don't want to have that on their conscience. You know, a parent, a mama bear who has every instinct to protect their child, yeah, I think that given the opportunity, they would go ahead and dispense the justice themselves. So let's let them do it. People keep saying I should run for office, but I don't know that I want to run for office, to be quite honest with you. Look at what they did to JR. JR was a choir boy compared to me. I've been very honest about my past, but I really don't necessarily want to have to defend, you know, my my bad habits or my old bad habits on stage. You know, I would much rather, I think, advocate for other people. You know, the one good thing about having a past, not being perfect, is that they can't use it against you. I mean, they can't use it to blackmail you. They can't use it to threaten you with revealing it to the world, because, you know, what the hell? I mean, everybody's screwed up before, some of us worse than others. I am living proof of that. But I don't know that I really want to have to deal with it, to be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind if the opportunity becomes available. Right now, I don't have anybody like in a position of authority down here in the Freedom Caucus or anything calling me up and saying, Zach Payne, you should run for office. But yeah, Kick Dreaming says, no, bro, don't get into that circus, Zach. It's not worth it. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And just wondering, I agree. I like this right here. I would, however, consider taking the press secretary job for Donald Trump in his second term. I would definitely do that. Or to be quite frank, if there is any other position available in the administrative side, I would go ahead and do that, because I mean, I have the educational background to do it. Obviously, I like discussing policy. I like discussing the decisions that affect the American people. And I think that one of the big problems that we have is that the people who work in Washington, D.C. have no concept. They don't understand the ramifications of the decisions that they recommend to lawmakers and policymakers, and how that's going to affect people in the real world. So if anybody works in the government, I think that they need to have the benefit of life experience so that they can understand, you know, how is this going to affect the people? Because right now it seems like they don't care. They don't have any sort of care at all. You know, obviously Joe Biden, I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he was thinking, hey, when I let in all these illegals, we're probably going to get a bunch of kids raped. That's cool with me, though. Jack. Not worried about that. I mean, just read Ashley's diary and you'll know that Joe Biden doesn't care about children being sexually abused. This is the one issue that I get so steamed up thinking about this stuff, because there's no reason, there's no logical reason that this should have happened. And even though people have woken up as a result of it, it still hurts my heart. Absolutely tears me up every time I learn about one of these cases. And it happens every day, virtually every single day. So how did this guy get access to a kid? Well, typical. It's a victim who is related to his girlfriend. I don't know if it's her child. I don't know if it's her niece, nephew, cousin. We don't even know if it's a – oh, no, we do know it's a girl. Pardon me. We don't know how this victim is related to this guy, other than the victim has a relationship to his girlfriend. So he appeared on Saturday in bond court in Broward County. Oh, great. Broward County, the paragon of justice. Oh, I wonder if Debbie Wasserman Schultz was sitting in the back with her Brillo hair. So the outlet said that Sarazin is under a U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement hold. And this is the details of the case. So the report from the National Desk states that Harazin, the illegal Haitian alien, denied the accusations at first. But then later on, he admitted, after several hours of questioning, he broke. Like, they all break. I mean, they're just like, you know what, I'm sick of pretending like I didn't do this. He admitted that he pulled the victim's pants down and sexually abused her on multiple occasions, while also noting that it's not normal to touch a minor, but he loses control around the girl. See, this is pathological. This is why pedophiles cannot be rehabilitated. This is why it is the moral imperative to put pedophiles to death. You cannot beat this out of them. You can't legislate this out of them. You cannot therapy this out of them. He has no control over this sick compulsion. And he will always have no control over this sick compulsion. The only way is to make sure that he never comes in contact with a child ever again. And the easiest way to make sure that happens without putting an undue burden on the taxpayer is to put him to death. You hear that, Media Matters? Put pedophiles to death. Catcell says, for your political run, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pedophiles should not have a right to live. I think they sacrifice that right after they abuse a child because they've stolen that child's life. They've stolen that child's innocence. That child can heal, but it's a burden they're going to carry with them for the rest of their life. And he's not going to carry that burden the rest of his life. You know, the worst thing he's got to worry about is not getting shanked in the shower in prison after this, because once the boys on the block learn what this guy did, he's going to be a target. So we might as well just get it taken care of quickly. Yes, make wood chippers great again. Number one, Indiana dad. By work experience, we're not talking about being a New York bar mistress. MAGA, baby, MOHAP, FJB, lead poisoning constrains illegal immigration. Can you imagine if they just gave cups of Kool-Aid laced with lead to all of the illegal alien criminals that come across that border? So the confession came after a detective told Sarrazin that the 10-year-old actually videotaped him during an incident. Oh, the kid. The kid had to, I mean, God bless her. She had the intelligence to get the evidence, but can't believe she was even put in that position. However, the police said, that didn't really happen. We just faked him out. That was a false statement. When presented with the false claims, Sarrazin responded, I should have just asked for a lawyer. Maybe you should have. But something tells me you don't have the money for a lawyer. Serter says, pedos in prison even have the guards against them. I don't know if the guards are really on any of the prisoners' side. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the guards can actively collude with the other prisoners to make sure that those pedos are in a position to maybe get their skull beat in or to find themselves on the wrong end of a broomstick like Jeffrey, what's his name? The guy in Indiana. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. I can't remember his name. He's the guy who had the body parts in his apartment and the neighbors, they could smell the death. It was horrible. I keep wanting to say Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, in a position. You know what I mean? I was trying to paint a picture for you guys. Yes, Dahmer. Thank you. Thank you, Just Wonder. And Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, put in a position. The suspect also claimed that during some of the incidents, the child had told him to stop, refused him, reportedly told him, don't put it inside me, in reference to her genitals. The little girl was hospitalized, and the police confiscated his phone. Broward County Circuit Judge Elijah Williams in Fort Lauderdale ordered Sarrazin not to have any contact whatsoever with the victim and denied him bond after originally settling it at $540,000. He's now being held in Broward County's main jail. They put him in Gen Pop. They know what they're doing. Maybe Broward County ain't that bad. Meanwhile, Dan Foote, who had previously served as Joe Biden's special envoy for Haiti in 2021, told Breitbart News in March that Biden's rushed policies to get a handle on the alien crisis a few years ago has helped collapse the Haiti state. Joe Biden is responsible for the collapse of Haiti. In 2021, more than 15,000 Haitian migrants approached the Del Rio River crossing in Texas, creating a TV magnified political crisis for Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. At the time, American officials were helping Haiti elect a new government to replace Prime Minister Ariel Henry, who took on the role days before the assassination of the nation's last president, Jovenel Moise, that year. In a report on March 25th, new details about Haiti popped up. Haiti has been overwhelmed by an outburst of gang violence ever since the prime minister left the country on a trip to Kenya to negotiate a deal for Kenya to spearhead an international security intervention. On March 11th, Henry said he would resign immediately after the creation of a transitional council to establish a new government. Well, things are not going so well. I actually have an update in a larger sense on just what the heck is going on in Haiti. Hold on. Let me find it here. How did I not put it directly after? Well, maybe I still have it in my notes here. Huh. Well, I don't know where my Haiti story went, guys. Hold on. Well, Jim Kyle says Jared Vogel will be out of prison in 2029, and he'll probably be living on the streets if he makes it that long. Jared Vogel is Subway Jared, guys. Subway Jared. He was an unrepentant pedophile, real sick son of a gun. All right, so here we are. Here we are. Haiti hell. It has literally been a war zone ever since the assassination of Jovenel Moise a couple years ago. But it's, you know, despite the best efforts of the Biden regime, they've been unable to help Haiti in any meaningful way. As you probably may or may not have seen, we did a series on Haiti on Badlands Media, more specifically the operations of the Clintons and the Clinton Global Initiative in Haiti, surrounding the aftermath of the Haiti earthquake. They've simply never recovered from that. $10 billion that barely like a half of a percent of it actually went to Haiti. They never rebuilt the country. The Clintons and their cronies just pocketed all of it, you know, and tons of people died. Tons of people died in the earthquake, and a lot of people were assassinated in the wake of it to keep the Clintons protected. So as this unelected transitional council that we just mentioned is trying to get set up, it keeps failing. And as a result of that, you keep having these street battles in and around Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is now one of the deadliest places on the face of the earth. And regularly, gun battles with the various forces, which include roving gangs of cannibals, chopping up, cooking, and eating their enemies. Take a look at this. You know, and also I want you to realize that the Dominican Republic, although also an island nation that is connected by landmass to Haiti, it's a very different place. They have a safe, stable, and secure environment. It's a haven for tourists. People love to go there. You could not pay me to go to Haiti. Remember it. Let me just say also, like, this is like the TikTokification of urban warfare. Like, you've got these morons running around with AK-47s, basically shooting indiscriminately in any direction, filming themselves, and then posting it to social media. Like, my God, this is like the perfect commentary on the 21st century world that's been created by these completely clueless people in Washington, D.C. Hang on. Did I miss something else? No, I did not. But thank you. Thank you, guys. Also, big thanks to Porpoiseful for dropping that cookie. The Steel Monkey says, Jack, they're called hard hat divers. Oh, you're talking about the people in the you're talking about the Baltimore stuff. But I think maybe were you calling me Jack because of Joe Biden, or were you calling me Jack because you mistyped it? But either way, Steel Monkey says they're called hard hat divers. Average Joe Patriot says these people are sick. Much love. They actually are very, very sick. It's a sickness that you cannot cure. Again, execution. Sean Joe, thank you for the can and the cookie. Just Josie, good to see you, hun, dropping a cookie as well. Average Joe Patriot dropped another cookie. Blonde Black dropped a cookie as well. Average Joe Patriot dropped a cookie. Sean Joe, man, you guys having a cookie fight over there. Thank you. Thank you to Average Joe again. Thank you to Blonde Black. Thank you to Josie and Average Joe again and again. And Blonde Black again, and Average Joe again, and Blonde Black again, and Mighty Patriot breaking it up with a pair of shades. Appreciate you, brother. And thank you also to Joe for a pair of shades, and Blonde Black for a pair of shades. I really do appreciate you guys. All right, so this man is speaking in what I can only assume to be French. I don't understand French, and there is a closed captioning, but it's not in English, so I can't read it. But let's go ahead and just start over again and take a look at the hellscape that is Haiti. Let me also just say that if you're running through a war zone, an active war zone, and your attention is on the viewfinder of your phone, as you make sure you're framing your shot correctly, as you indiscriminately spray bullets all over an urban area, I mean, that's a pretty easy way to get shot in the back of the head yourself, especially when you're turning away from the direction that you were previously just shooting. It tells everybody else who wants to kill you, like, hey, look at that moron. He's busy on his phone. It's the best time to shoot him in the back of the head. These people are stupid, stupid. So just to give you an idea of how precarious this situation is, the outgoing prime minister, Mr. Henry, said the names of the nine members of the council have finally been forwarded to him from the regional body, which is known as CARICOM. But he didn't release the names. He said it would basically amount to a death sentence by the gangs and that the government can't guarantee their safety. The roving gangs of killers that are overwhelming the streets of Haiti, they're the ones who are truly running the country. This is the best example of the inmates taking over the asylum. And besides that, you've got a number of legal questions about the implementation of this council simply because they are unelected. See if we've got any more footage of the terrors on the streets in Haiti. Nope. No more. But Jimmy Barbecue Scherzier, this is that Haitian criminal gang member, gang leader. They call Barbecue because he literally barbecues his victims up and eats them. This is honestly, you know, the idea of cannibalism, it does trace back to a variety of different African cultures. I don't think it's been like a big thing in Haiti specifically. And obviously Haitians are pretty far removed from like the original Africans that came over to populate the island. But perhaps it has something to do with some sort of like, you know, witch doctory. I'm not real certain exactly where it's coming from. But Timmy Bro over on Rumble, thank you, sir. He says, Zach, thank you for all you do. Thank you very much, Timmy. I appreciate you. Appreciate you being here. So basically, the majority of Port-au-Prince is being run by these criminal gangs. And it honestly sounds to me like at this point, the government of Haiti or what's left of it has been so ineffectual and completely devoid of any direction or any plan for so long. Now that it's gotten this bad, there is no way to form a new government without including these criminal cannibal gang members into the equation. So they're not really criminals anymore. I mean, like when crime is the dominant form of commerce in a nation, I mean, the criminals basically are no different from the politicians like the ones we've got here. Surter says Kuru is a hell of a disease to get. Ask Idi Amin. Did Idi Amin die from Kuru? Hang on. Let's go ahead. I'm gonna check that out because I don't know if I knew that. Here is Barbecue right there. Oh, he's even got the double stack on his service rifle. Let's see. Yeah, nothing else in there. Okay. Idi Amin Kuru. Kuru was that disease that we were suggesting Hillary Clinton had at one time because she had a canker like in the middle of her tongue, and that is a telltale sign of Kuru. Okay. So Idi Amin, I threw a comma in there. Idi Amin Kuru death. Let's see if we can get something quickly that way. Not many results contain Kuru, it says. Okay, well then, let's just say they did call him the Butcher of Uganda. One of the cruelest dictators of the 20th century. Hundreds of thousands of people disappeared. His reign was marked by a brutality that got him that nickname. His reputation was well earned through his depraved antics, which included, by his own admission, cannibalism. Well, there you go. There you go. Would not doubt it if he died from Kuru. Wasn't there a movie about Idi Amin? Yeah. I want to say Forrest Whitaker played him or something like that. Anyways, he took a message or a page from the book of many other despotic leaders across the world. And gosh. So Florida is not the only place where sexual abuse of children by these illegal aliens is happening. Massachusetts is also facing this. I mean, they've got like a sanctuary state there, basically. And they have gone so far as to actually shield these illegals who have been accused of sexually abusing children from actually being detained by ICE and then being deported as a result. At least one illegal alien who was accused of sexually abusing multiple children was repeatedly shielded from deportation thanks to the sanctuary policies of Massachusetts, the state. This is a 33-year-old illegal alien from Guatemala who's part of those millions that just got through the border and never actually had any sort of contact with U.S. officials. He successfully crossed the U.S.-Mexico border at an unknown date, at an unknown time. All we know is that on March 30th, 2022, he was arraigned in Lynn, Massachusetts on assault, battery, and strangulation charges. Sounds like a good dude. 2 days later, he was also arraigned on the reckless endangerment of a child. And then on February 14th of 2023, the Lynn District Court dismissed all of the charges against him. So anybody out here living in Massachusetts? Massachusetts is also the place where they're starting to move these people into your homes. So if you have a wife and child, heck, even if you're a guy, if you're a liberal and you allow these people to move into your house, you might wake up with a Guatemalan between your cheeks. Let's see. Drogon70 says, Zach, Jimmy got his name because his mother sold barbecue on the streets. There were many Jimmys, so they nicknamed him that. A journalist on Redacted covers this. Thank you for your time. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. That makes total sense. When they dropped the charges, that wasn't the end of his experience and continued contact with the Massachusetts court system, because on June 26th, 2023, he was again arraigned, this time in East Boston District Court, on charges of compulsory insurance violation, identification violations, and forgery. And then that same day, guess what? If you guessed that all of the charges were dismissed, you would be correct. Of course, I'm sure during this time, American citizens, residents of Massachusetts, were also being brought up and charged on crimes just like this, except they go to prison. They don't get the charges dismissed against them. And then on November 8th of 2023, this unrepentant criminal again appeared in the Lynn District Court. This time he was arraigned on the three counts of indecent assault and battery on a child under the age of 14. Two counts of assault and battery on a child with assault. Assault to rape a child and intimidation. He was arraigned again on November 15th, 2023 on charges of indecent assault and battery on a child under the age of 14. So let me just spell this out for you. The state of Massachusetts has repeatedly allowed for some of the worst violations against children and just regular people in their state over and over and over again. And guys, this is one illegal alien from Guatemala. One dude who has repeatedly been brought before the court. and then had all of his charges dismissed simply because they want to be a sanctuary state. He was arraigned on 9 counts of indecent assault and battery on a child under 14. He was arraigned on rape of a child. He was arraigned on 2 counts of assault and battery. He was arraigned on witness intimidation. This time, all of those charges were in Essex Superior Court in February of this year, February 26th. And then the following day, all of the indictments for the Superior Court arraignment were dismissed against this illegal alien once again. So according to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they lodged a detainer against him back in November of 2023. But instead of turning him over to ICE, the Massachusetts court system released him back into the community so that he could be free to rape children again all day long. But on March 28th of this year, ICE agents finally arrested this illegal outside of his residence in Lynn, and he now remains in ICE custody pending his deportation out of the United States. Drogon says, the last king of Scotland, that's what I was remembering. Yes, yes. Is the movie about Edie Me? Oh, you just watched it last night? What a coincidence. Yeah, that was a really good movie. I really liked that movie. I mean, it was fascinating. It wasn't like Edie Amin was a good dude. He was a fascinating character, though. All right, so finally, all it took was the rape of 10 children before this guy could finally be caught by federal authorities. Now, the real question is Biden going to release him, or is he going to let him stay in prison? I don't know. Hopefully, he gets deported, but even once he gets deported, until that border is cleaned up, he's going to be free to continue coming back through. He's already proven that he knows how to do it without getting caught. I actually saw a report about this down here in Florida. This is a story coming out of Detroit, Michigan, though. So it appears that there is an organized effort all around the United States where well-trained ninjas, they're calling them, this time a group from Chile, are robbing American homes after they get into the United States through Joe Biden's visa waiver program. Well-trained ninjas from Chile are burglarizing wealthy Americans in Detroit, Michigan, in the suburbs, after they use the visa waiver program to get in. This is Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard speaking. He gave an interview with Fox 2 Detroit, and he sounded the alarm again on the rise of foreign burglary gangs from South America that are currently operating in the United States. They're operating all across the Eastern Seaboard. They're probably operating all across this country. So I urge you again, my friends, if you do not already own a firearm, please buy something that is going to allow you to protect yourself and your family, and figure out a way to get easy access to it that keeps it away from children or people who should not have access to firearms. Thank God down here in Florida, they just want us to shoot these bastards on sight. Michigan, I assume it's probably going to be a slightly different scenario. But these guys are operating down here in South and Central Florida as well. They've been hitting the rich very, very hard. Maybe this is just what the rich need, to finally recognize that they should not be voting for policies that allow these people to come on into the country and just take advantage of everything they hold dear. Raping the kids isn't doing it. Maybe stealing their safes is finally going to put their minds straight. They've gotten cash, jewelry, very high-end purses. That's the target. So they are definitely going for the cream of the crop, the top 1% down here in America. Lisa and I don't have any Coach bags or any, I guess, I don't know. What are the other brands that they make bags and they want to steal? Gucci? I know about Gucci. Do they make Gucci bags? I don't know. I don't know what the kids are wearing nowadays. I don't watch the Kardashians, so I don't know like what they're buying and telling kids to buy, or what the rich people buy either. But obviously, they get inside a wealthy suburb. They know it's probably full of liberals who don't own guns, and then they just make their way in, maybe after they've cased the joint, get inside. If they have to bind the residents of the home, cool. If they can get in without making any contact, cool. But the video that I saw showed that these guys are not scared of anything. Like, they simply do not care. They know that they're going to get into your house, they're going to get your valuables, they're going to get out of there, and nobody's going to stop them. Because, you know, just as we saw in Massachusetts, even if they catch them, Probably just going to drop all the charges. Just let them go. Hey, I'm here illegally. I'm from Chile. You have to let me go, and then I'm going to go steal a house after that. How's that sound? But they're super well-trained. They're highly organized. They look like ninjas. They're all masked up. They got gloves. They have a backpack, and they got a particular set of tools and a particular set of skills. Pulling a Liam Neeson on The Rich of Michigan. Let's go ahead and watch this.
And Oakland Township. All of those arrested had come to the U.S. through a visa waiver program.
Look like babies. My God. Look at this. These two aren't even shaving yet. What about this old broad? She's looking tired. Oh, God. I don't even want to think about it.
Bouchard says changes need to be made.
All the intelligence estimates just from Chile, we have 100 plus teams in operation right now in America, teams of 4 to 6. What we encourage Washington to do is stop the visa waiver program.
They had a whole safe. They're just rolling it around.
Bouchard says changes need to be made.
All the intelligence estimates just from Chile, we have 100 plus teams in operation right now in America, teams of 4 to 6. What we encourage Washington to do is stop the visa waiver program right now for Chile. And that doesn't mean they can't visit, but they just have to get a regular visa, which comes with a little more scrutiny.
In Pontiac, Amy Lang, Fox 2 News.
Boom. Yep. Head on in, steal all your stuff. This is a problem all across America. I'll take it one step further, Sheriff. Not just the visa waiver program. We need to put a halt, a 100% halt on all immigration into the United States of all types. We need to seal our borders. We need to popularize those borders with law enforcement officials. We need to have the governors of the states that are bordering other countries set up permanent outposts along the landmass of those borders and stop people from coming over. And if people come across that border, we need to do one thing and one thing only. Shoot to kill. Shoot on sight. Because if these illegal aliens recognize, if they believe that their life is in mortal danger, if they cross that line, then I guarantee you, they're going to stop doing it. Nobody wants to catch a 556 to the skull. Okay. Nobody is looking forward to doing that. Right now, they have a sense of impunity. They can do whatever they want because they know that nothing is going to happen to them. All right, you guys, we're going to come back on the other side of the break in just a moment. We'll be back in a second. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. So all of this cross-border action and the crimes that are taking place in the United States, it is not lost on the citizens of this country. obviously the people who were ahead of the curve, people like us who knew that this was going to be the inevitable response, the reaction to unrestrained illegal aliens coming across the border or being flown into our cities. We knew that it was going to result in death. We knew that it was going to result in the abuse of children. We knew that it was going to result in the rape and murder of adult women. We knew that it was going to result in roving gangs of ninjas coming to our neighborhoods to steal whatever they can get their hands on. We knew this, okay? And there were some people who just could not see it coming. Well, now those people are seeing it coming as well. And James Carville, one of those Democrat strategists who used to work in the Clinton administration, who recently made jokes about President Trump being assassinated and who frequently appears on all of the left-wing talking head programs on the mainstream media, he is quite literally panicking, warning Democrats that young minority voters are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. He is really upset. He's also known as the Ragin' Cajun. And he said that if Democrats don't do something, they're going to be losing young minority voters who are inevitably going to vote for Donald Trump. Because it's one thing when Democrats destroy your city. It's another thing when they take a big shit on top of you at the exact same time. And that's exactly what's happening. Democrats have destroyed urban centers long ago. And the people who lived there, you know, they basically just had not recognized that the problem was as bad as it was. But when you start taking away all of the resources that the Democrats pump into these cities and you give them to the illegal alien invaders that are being brought in by the Democrats, the people living in those areas, the people who were previously thought to be a safe voting bloc for the Democrat Party, they start turning around and saying, you know what? I'm going to start thinking for myself. And it doesn't take a genius to look at what they've done to the United States and recognize that it is simply unsustainable. They cannot continue to go on like this. So James Carville's message? Let's take a listen.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, black, younger blacks, younger Latinos or whatever, but whatever, younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
They're leaving in the droves. And you know what they're doing? They are running straight to the Republicans. They're running straight to Trump is what they're running to. Because they look at the Democrats and they say, seems like these guys don't have a plan. In fact, actually, it's even worse than that. It feels like this is their plan. Their plan is to unravel the United States of America. Their plan is to plunge us into a third world hellscape. Anybody here want to live in Haiti? Anyone? Anyone? No, I don't think a single one of you raised your hand. And anybody out there, whether they pay attention to politics or not, is looking around and saying, this is not the country I want to live in. And I got nowhere else to go. So what's my choice? Well, my choice is to vote for someone who does have a plan. And Donald Trump is the only one who said that he has a plan. Congress is completely ineffective. They've done absolutely nothing about this. The federal bureaucracy that answers to Joe Biden, they're paralyzed. They want to do something, but they can't because they're getting directives from Alejandro Mayorkas telling them to just continue looking the other way, telling them that you can't actually do your job because I'm telling you that you can't do your job. And so James Carville, he's kind of that canary in the coal mine, isn't he? He's looking around and he's finally got to start answering to what's really happening. He's got to admit what's going on because the Democrats are unable to admit it to themselves. Jim Kyle, they just killed fast food in California with that $20 an hour minimum wage. Well, yeah, that's good. You're going to lose a lot of jobs that way. You're going to have a lot of companies who pull out. I mean, that's on top of all of the companies who've already left because there's just too much rampant criminality. But last year, 66% of black adults leaned or identified as Democrat. 19% of them leaned or identified as Republican. Now, That 47-point spread is the lowest it's been in 25 years. It's down 19 percentage points from 2020. At that time, in 2020, 77% of black adults identified as Democrats and only 11% identified as Republicans. How much wider is that spread going to get by November? Around 47% of Hispanics call themselves Democrats. 35% identify as Republican. Go back to 2021. That was 57% Democrat to 26% Republican. So Democrats are now starting to get a whiff in the air of just how fragile their coalition is. And this may be why Joe Biden is considering dropping that nuclear option and giving everybody a green card and telling them that they can vote. We need to make sure that does not happen. Now, even if Joe Biden somehow, by the grace of Satan, it would be, because certainly not the grace of God, makes it through this election in November, voters are not convinced that he would survive for very long. Not saying how it would happen, but a lot of people don't think Joe Biden is going to be around much longer, if he is at all. And that would result in a President Kamala Harris, which almost seems like an even more frightening possibility. From a poll by The Mail Online, only 38% of likely voters are confident that Joe Biden would still be alive at the end of a second term. 33% are not confident he would make it. If he wins in November, God forbid, he would have the right to hold the Oval Office until January of 2029. On that date, he would be 86 years old, and more than likely, his dementia would have advanced much, much further than what it is today. Meanwhile, 36% of likely voters think Kamala Harris will be in charge by the end of Biden's second term. And the same number believe that Biden will still be at the helm. Voters are a lot less convinced about Trump's are far less concerned about President Trump's fitness for office. 54% indicate they believe he would survive the entire second term. I would say 100% he's going to survive the second term. That would be compared with 21% who believe that he would not. Biden is old and people don't like him. That is the messaging. Now, here's a curious fact. Very curious indeed. The White House's Spanish language social media accounts mysteriously left out any mention of the Transgender Day of Visibility. Isn't that weird, guys? Why do you think that would be? I mean, obviously, mentioning it on English social media was a spectacularly bad idea, a major public relations misstep. And you have to wonder why it was that they wouldn't tell the Spanish-speaking community of the United States of America that it wasn't Easter, it was the Transgender Day of Visibility. Do you think it might be possible that the Biden regime knows that they're losing steam with the Hispanic-speaking community here in the United States of America? Do they understand that Latino voters would have been offended by such a message on the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, you can go take a look at the X account for the Spanish language announcements from the White House, and it's essentially just a Spanish language replication of all of the content that goes onto the English-speaking White House account. So the Biden administration definitely wished their followers on both pages a happy Easter, but it was only on that English language account where they celebrated the Transgender Day of Visibility on March 31st. On La Casa Bianca, I guess that's the White House in Spanish, they only commemorated Cesar Chavez Day. They said, today we remember Cesar Chavez and his noble efforts to bring dignity to the work of agricultural workers in our country. That's according to the translation. His legacy lives on in the administration's values and its support for social justice and economic equality for organized labor. I think it's probably worth mentioning that Cesar Chavez was also a family man. In English, however, the White House posted this. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. On Transgender Day of Visibility, our administration honors the extraordinary courage of transgender Americans and reaffirms our commitment to forming a more perfect union. Do you think that they're trying to turn us into a transgender-centered economy? I wonder. That's kind of what it feels like sometimes. So, yeah, curious that they wouldn't mention it. I mean, obviously, Latinos tend to be more devout. They're more centered around family. And I don't know that they have the same sort of, I guess, feelings about the transgender agenda that's being pressed on the country that the White House seems to believe everybody has. So that brings us to this little tidbit from RFK Jr., RFK Jr. just gave an interview where he was asked about Donald Trump being a threat to American democracy. And he said that there's actually a much better argument to be made that Joe Biden is a far worse threat to democracy, far more than Donald Trump. He actually made this statement while he was appearing on CNN. Let me see. Do we have a clip from that? Because if we do, I'm going to go ahead and play it. Let's see. Oh, that's the full interview. I don't think that we want to hear that, but hold on.
The U.S. government doesn't want you to.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Control myself.
Would you ban so-called assault weapons?
If there was a consensus where Republicans and Democrats voted a majority to do that, I would sign the bill.
So big government is a threat, but that's not what the Tea Party cares about. They just don't want to pay their taxes, and they don't want a black person to be president of the United States. And I'm just telling the truth. This whole Tea Party movement came out of the nostalgia for a plantation economy.
So obviously this is all of the reasons why conservatives should beware the specter of RFK Jr. Yeah, he says some nice things. He seems kind of based, but he has traditionally been a liberal Democrat, you know, the farthest left. The idea that he would accuse Tea Party members of being racist. I mean, obviously, that's a trope. That's a common Democrat trope. The plantation economy, as everybody knows, was invented by the Democrats.
That's where it came from. Why is it that they all come out of those dozen southern states that were part of the Confederacy? This is the resurgence of the Confederacy.
I love Hillary Clinton.
Are you solidly for Hillary or are you more anti-Trump?
No, I'm solidly for Hillary.
Let me ask you, first of all, about the wildfires in Australia, because it's a huge environmental crisis there.
I think, it's a predictable byproduct of climate change. I believe that we should use market mechanisms like carbon taxes. The market is the most powerful economic engine that's ever been devised by humanity, but it has to be harnessed to a social purpose. Otherwise, it just will lead us down the inevitable road of political oligarchy and corporate kleptocracy and environmental apocalypse. The question is, it's a race, really a race to bottom. How many species are we going to be left with?
Right.
How dire is the situation? How many people are going to be displaced by drought and famine before we actually cross that threshold and stop producing fossil fuels?
So none of that stuff is caused by fossil fuels, but so it looks like this is part of a much larger interview. So we're not going to obviously listen to a 34-minute interview. I do, however, love that RFK Jr. is being honest about the threat of the Biden regime. So this was the quote here. Aaron Burnett asked him a moment ago, you said you essentially see Trump and Biden as the same. They're not. Different issues, but do you really believe that? When people talk about the threats of democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that is as equal to Biden? And Kennedy responded, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech. So to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows he started censoring not just me, 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who uses the power of his office to force social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to the NIH, to censor his political opponents. President Biden, the first president in history, used the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. That is the weaponizing of federal agencies. Those are real critical threats to democracy. Erin Burnett wasn't buying it, though, and she continually pressed the issue that Donald Trump is a bigger threat to democracy. This is one of the favorite tropes of the left now that the racism trope has pretty much dried up. Donald Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court. How is that not a threat to democracy? Well, I think that that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election is clearly a threat to democracy, he basically relented. Donald Trump is not the threat to democracy. The threat to democracy, the threat to the republic is a better way to put it, is the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So I don't need to tell you guys that, though. The threat to our republic is the weaponization of not only the federal government, but every form of political and institutional power, as we are witnessing largely through the continued persecution of Donald Trump. And the judge in his New York so-called hush money payments case, Judge Juan Merchan, has now expanded his gag order to bar him from criticizing his daughter. She is a far-left political operative who has raised money off of the idea that she's going to have her daddy put Donald Trump away for so-called hush money payments. And of course, President Trump is being silenced by this gag order so that his political and judicial opponents can speak out against him in whatever way they want. He's now unable to make any sort of public statements about witnesses, jurors, the family members of the people who are the members of the court. Alvin Bragg had accused President Trump of violating the gag order when he initially pointed out the fact, rightfully so, that Judge Merchan's daughter is putting out political messages against him, essentially campaigning against him. Now, she's not a witness. She's not a juror. She doesn't work for the court. She just happens to have a daddy who is working for the court. So the judge has now expanded that gag order against him. And of course, that means that President Trump is no longer going to be able to say things that make sense. And the American people are going to have to just get it for themselves. All right, guys, I do have a bit of good news before we get into the final subject of tonight's show. This is coming from my friend George B. Heasy. A New Mexico federal judge has just issued a 300-page ruling in favor of election integrity activists. You see, they had brought a court case arguing that the state of New Mexico had violated federal law by refusing to provide election records. They did. So the judge has also awarded attorney's fees to these patriots that were suing the state of New Mexico. This is a portion from that 300-page ruling. Secretary Oliver and the Attorney General violated the public inspection provision by refusing to timely produce voter data in response to voter references February 2022 and May 2022 voter data requests. Voter reference is entitled to reasonable attorney's fees, litigation expenses, and costs accrued in its prosecution of claims made under the National Voter Registration Act. I have not had a chance to read that ruling in its entirety. Obviously, 300 pages is pretty long. So perhaps we'll have a summation of that when we come back to the show tomorrow. Now, we got to talk about this investigative journalist in Wisconsin, Peter Bregner. Hang on. Let me make sure that that's how you pronounce his name. Peter Bregner. He's affiliated with this organization right here, Election Watch. Election Watch is the group that basically broke the story about Act Blue, a money laundering donations to people in the Democrat Party. And unfortunately, as we learned, it appears that Win Red is doing the exact same thing. But obviously, his investigation was looking into Act Blue. So you can see here, this map shows the various states where they've got data provided from the Federal Election Commission. And there are so many anomalies in this FEC data. It's taking them a lot of time because they are looking at it on an ongoing basis. It should be the same if you download using the same query that they provide for you, so you can look into it yourself. But there are transactions that are shown completed but are dated into the future. That is strange. That shouldn't be able to be the case. You've also got examples where it appears that there is a counting of a transaction fee as a contribution, which shouldn't be the case either. They've also got states that show listed as ZZ. Obviously, ZZ is not a state in the United States of America. And then there is a double counting of actual donations going to various candidates in these states, which also should not be the case. Now, they have done a lot of great work exposing this problem and taking a look at specific individuals who were involved in a variety of smurfing efforts. Smurfing is the name for that money laundering of donations going to candidates from people who have no idea that they're actually donating to candidates. So Wisconsin investigative reporter and researcher Peter Bernegger with Election Watch Incorporated was arrested and booked by the Dane County, Wisconsin sheriff for simulating legal process. Have you ever heard of the charge of simulating a legal process? Well, not many of you probably have. I know I certainly hadn't. And it's interesting because this is not a charge that they usually bring against anybody. And we'll show you exactly why here in a moment. But Peter was directly involved in exposing this election campaign scandal, smurfing of donors who are believed to be unwitting accomplices in the use of laundering small, numerous dollar donations to political candidates. Bernegger previously told the Gateway Pundit that this smurfing scheme looks like the largest money laundering scheme in the history of the country. So is anybody really surprised that instead of going after the guilty parties, the state of Wisconsin instead decided to go after the very investigative journalist who brought it to their attention? I'm sure you remember back in March of 2023, James O'Keefe's fledgling organization at that time, O'Keefe Media Group, interviewed quite a few of these unsuspecting smurfs to see if they had, in fact, donated these large sums of money to candidates and political action committees, just like Act Blue, through numerous small dollar donations. Now, of course, they had not. They had no idea. Oftentimes, these donations would result in thousands of dollars being donated in the names of unemployed, perhaps even disabled people, oftentimes seniors. And it was done in such a small dollar amount so that it would not raise suspicion. It would just happen over and over and over again so that cumulatively it was an amount that these people never would have donated if they had known that it was even happening. Prominent Democrats, people like Senators Raphael Warnock and even John Fetterman, Governor Katie Hobbs, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Congressman Troy Carter, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz were reported beneficiaries of this operation. Now, Protasiewicz, we've talked about her on a number of occasions. She was the one who was recently elected to swing the makeup of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court in favor of the Democrats. Fox News actually ended up doing a report on this money laundering scheme from the Democratic fundraising behemoth Act Blue in April, just about a month after James O'Keefe broke this news. Senator Rubio at that time had demanded an FEC investigation into the campaign finance laundering allegations and accusations. However, I don't think that ever really happened. I never heard anything about it from the FEC, even though it is a clear-cut and gigantic scheme that you can directly trace back to ActBlue. You can also trace it back to the people who never actually donated the money, but their names are being used. So last night, Peter Bernegger was arrested by the Dane County Sheriff's Office and booked this morning on that charge of simulating a legal process. According to records, there have only been two convictions of this crime since 1977. Let's take a look at the Wisconsin state statute. This is what it states. 1G. In this section, legal processes include a subpoena, summons, complaint, warrant, injunction, writ, notice, pleading, order, or other document that directs a person to perform or refrain from performing a specified act and compliance with which is enforceable by a court or governmental agency. I have no belief in any bone in my body that Peter Bernegger had anything like this that he had done. There's no way that he delivered a false summons or a false subpoena or a false warrant or a false notice or a false plea. I wonder if they're going to use notice and try to claim that by him going to these elderly people and showing them that money was donated in their name, that somehow that was illegal. Except as provided in parse B and C, whoever sends or delivers to another any document which simulates legal process is guilty of a class one felony. If the document is sent or delivered with intent to induce payment of a claim, the person is guilty of a class H felony. If the document simulates any criminal process, the person is guilty of a class H felony. Proof that a document specified under this statute was mailed or was delivered to any person with the intent that it be forwarded to the intended recipient is sufficient proof of sending. This section applies even though the simulating document contains a statement to the effect that it is not a legal process. So even if you send something to someone and it says this is not a legal document, it's just, I don't know, requesting information, requesting payment, requesting that something happened, that can be illegal. That is insane. Violation of the section may be prosecuted in either the county where the document was sent or the county in which it was delivered. So Bernegger had teamed up with this group on Telegram, Wisconsin HOT, to file 50 ethics complaints with the Wisconsin Elections Commission against both Democrats and Republican campaigns for allegedly accepting the laundered funds. And then they published the complaints to infoccc.com. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Freya and the boy says, I have a feel good story for you, Zach. My wife took out the garbage and a hard dog wailing. We found out that our neighbor's dog fell through the ice. Me and my neighbor got the dog out after a half hour. Oh, that is great. Good for you, buddy. That's awesome. I'm glad you saved him. All right. So they published ethics violations. Is this what they're saying he did in an illegal manner? Let's take a look at Janet Protasiewicz. Okay. Well, they say alleged. This is an actual ethics violation that was sent to the State of Wisconsin Ethics Committee. I don't know how that could be false documents, but it's obvious that the state of Wisconsin is freaking out, or maybe more specifically, the Democrats are freaking out because they know that this is one of the largest money laundering schemes in the history of America that has been uncovered thus far. So Wisconsin HOT writes, supported by extensive data analysis from FEC and CFIS, Bernegger's team meticulously documented the illicit contributions. Private investigators confirmed that many donors were falsely attributed, prompting further complaints in over 20 Wisconsin counties. The reports have exposed a web of corruption reaching even the highest levels of state government. That includes Janet Protasiewicz and Attorney General Josh Call. Incidentally, it was the Wisconsin Department of Justice that filed the charges against him, and that would be Josh Call, the Attorney General. As the Department of Justice attempts to silence Bernegger, his unwavering commitment to truth and justice will only grow stronger. The lawfare tactics against him will only serve to amplify his voice and bring his investigative research to a wider audience. The arrest of Peter Bernegger is not just an attack on one man, but on the fundamental principles of transparency and accountability in our democracy. But it's a republic. So the really interesting thing here is that they're 100% right. This is what they call the Streisand effect. This is when you try to silence something because you don't want people to know about it, and it has the exact opposite effect. The effect that was unintended in this case is that more people now, as a result of the persecution of an investigative journalist, are going to learn about this. And I hope that you guys share this story, share this show far and wide. Because people need to be made aware of this. Because it's not just about money laundering now. Now it's about issues of the First Amendment and the freedom of the press. The ethics complaints that were filed by Bernegger include some notable names, such as Janet Protasiewicz. She's alleged to have received $1.4 million and $12.3 million in alleged false donations and alleged campaign violations, respectively. The complaint also claims she received 57.33% in contributions from out-of-state funds. Aaron Maynard says, Mohap, Mohap indeed. The Wisconsin Attorney General, Josh Call, also had an ethics complaint filed against him, as did Governor Tony Evers and several other state politicians and Democrat and Republican organizations. During a December 2023 Senate hearing in Wisconsin, Sheboygan Republican Party Chairman Russ Otten and Peter Bernegger also exposed campaign donations from an organization called Democracy Found that, of course, endorsed ranked choice voting through Senate Bill 528. We do have a couple of clips coming from Peter Bernegger and his organization. Let's see, can I get it to play? Maybe if we go straight to Rumble.
So when I see Democracy Found, you know, having everybody come here today.
So I'm Catherine Gale, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 528, and I'm here as a founder of Democracy Found, an organization you heard from earlier today, which is our Wisconsin effort for Final Five voting.
They were established for one reason, for today, to get this passed. And the money that has been thrown around this state is unbelievable. I look at right now, Senator Fine, who's not here right now, received $1,675. Not a lot of money, but it's something.
Cha-ching.
Mr. Chairman, you received $2,500 from Democracy Found. Senator Quinn, if you're still listening, you received $8,150 from Democracy Found. Jesse James, one of the sponsors.
So, long story short, the entire system in Wisconsin is corrupt, regardless of party. But you already knew that. Now, you may not have seen this hearing. Obviously, this was a local Wisconsin hearing. I know that certain journalists in the state of Wisconsin have been following this directly. We've been talking about it as it's been reported nationally. Anytime anything has come up with regard to the efforts of patriots in Wisconsin to try to secure the election system, we've covered it. But I did not see this this hearing either.
Federal delegation. But the opportunities here are something that we should be looking at. This was brought to me
$1,360
being a military veteran.
Representative Tussler.
Part of his answer of how to make D.C. a better place is the foreword he wrote in the politics industry. The author of this, Catherine Gale, I think is here to testify today as well on it. But Gallagher wrote the foreword on it, and that's kind of why I initially heard of it. Is he sent me a copy of the book and told me, just look at this and think about it for Wisconsin.
And then we get to the largest one, and that is Senator Smith.
Trust in this room today, the distrust in this room today you could cut with a knife. The distrust in this room today you can cut with a knife. And I get that. I understand that. We're all in this together. As elected officials, we're in this together. As citizens and as voters, we're in this together.
Woo! $25,700. So
why are you guys in charge of this decision? Why are you on this committee? You've received money from the sponsors of this bill. You know, Scott, or I think it was Scott that was talking about before, you know, the corruption in Madison right here in this building. We're in it right now.
Thick.
None of you guys should be taking money from this group and then being on the committee to push it on to the Senate. I'm sorry.
$2,000. $11,900. $11,720. $10,425. $13,245. $12,030. $14,900.
This is very smelly.
Reeks. Reeks to high heaven. So I just wanted to actually let you guys know about Hot Government, their account over here.
California.
Oh, my gosh. President Trump, is he live? He is.
Them to enact a complete and total ban on all gasoline-powered cars and trucks. I will terminate that. If this.
All right, guys. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and conclude there so you guys can go ahead and watch President Trump live. I'm going to go do that with Lisa. We've actually got to go get some food for dinner. Thank you very much to everybody for hanging out with us today. Let me give some final thank yous over here on my pilled feed. I think that we ended with Blonde Black dropping some shades. Thank you, Loop to Loop. Thank you for the cookie. Thank you to Average Joe Patriot for another cookie, and Porpoiseful, and Joe, and Thick Ray, who dropped a can, said, After Malone drive from the job and I'm home, it's nothing like listening to you, and your delivery is spot on. Thank you very much. Thick Ray, appreciate you, Ray. The truth is loose. Hashtag the truth is loose. Thank you to Sean Joe and Boys Blanc and Sean Joe and D. Dallad. You guys are awesome. We have a major problem here in the United States. Let me also share with you the Telegram account for Hot Wisconsin, so you guys can follow that. Let me drop these for you. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me today. Let me just remind you, if you're watching on Rumble, to help me get on the leaderboard. We have 3,400 people here watching. If you hit that like button, you will help me get on the leaderboard. If I get 3,000 likes on a video, I'm going to get on the leaderboard. Like, that's how simple it is. That's how easy it is. And then when I get on the leaderboard, then people who don't even know about this channel or know about the information that I'm bringing you guys are going to be able to see the video, and then they're going to be able to follow me, and then it will just help this continue on a self-perpetuating cycle of knowledge and truth and red pilling. You guys will be the ones who allow that to happen in the real world. So I implore you, please hit the like button over on Rumble. Here is also the link directly to that clip from the hearing about ranked choice voting. And you can follow Hot Government on Rumble. Here we go, dropping it over there. Also, Esther G. Thank you, Esther. She dropped a can and said, thank you, Zach. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Over here on Getter, let me drop this over to you as well. There we go. Yes, got some comments over there on Getter about RFK Jr. and his still being totally blind to the vax and all of that. And then one final drop. Where did it go? Here we go. The Telegram. I got to drop the Telegram over here for my folks on Getter. And then also, if anybody's over there on Twitter, we got 70 people over there. If you're on Twitter, hit that like button. Also, hit the like on the post. All right, guys. Thank you again. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern for another episode of Red Pill News Live. If you're on Pilled, please hit that red pill. We got 100 red pills over there on Pilled. You guys are the best. Thank you. Good luck. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, Bubba Bird. Bubba Bird just dropped a big donation over on Rumble. Bubba Bird, thank you. I'm sliding it under the wire. You are awesome. Appreciate you guys.